The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. This is The Friday Report. My name's Lucy and I've got a studio full of guests today. Luke, Isaac, Georgie, Peter and Alice are here. They're all aged 9 and 10 years old. And we're going to be... Oh, hang on, Alice. Hang on.
11.
Oh, and Alice is 11. A good old cross-section today. We're going to be talking about some of the issues affecting them. Now, it's going to be everything right through from what would they tell the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Council through to what shape should sandwiches be. So get thinking, kids. And if you want to get involved, you can lend me your thoughts today. Loads of ways to do it. On the text, IW, a space in your message. Send it into 81222. Give us a call here in the studio, 822002. And you can tweet at iWhite Radio if you are going to get in touch. It's a child-friendly show today, so no major Isle of Wight issues that we're not going to be talking about. Otherwise, you know, it's going to go horribly wrong. So I'll tell you what we're going to be talking about after this.
The Friday Report. Getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon, then. Welcome to the Friday Report. It's 12 minutes after one, and we've got a studio full of people. Let's have a few introductions, shall we? We'll start at this end. Who have we got?
Peter Rabbit.
Georgie Gobby.
Alice Davis.
My name is Isaac Leftwich.
And Luke Dietman.
Fantastic. Okay, so you are all 9, 10 and 11, as I was rightly corrected. Thank you very much for joining me today. And you're from all over the Isle of Wight. And you're here to talk a whole range of stuff. And we thought we'd do a bit of a Friday Report summer holiday special. So if you've got a person at home that's listening to this who's off for the summer holidays and they want to get involved, we'd love to hear from them today. 822002 is the number to call on the issues that we've got coming up. I thought I'd start with an easy one. How do you all stand on politics?
I know a bit about it.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, so... Does anyone know who the Prime Minister is? Oh, good. Hands up all together then.
David Cameron.
Very good. Okay, perfect. Brilliant. All right. So, in that case, what I wanted to know was if David Cameron was sat in the studio right now, what would you tell him to sort out? What should he be doing to help the country? What kinds of things? Go on. Let's come to you, Isaac.
I would say to lower the cost of university because I believe it used to be free.
It did used to be free. Why do you think it's a problem to having to pay to go to university?
Because there are many young people who aren't getting the opportunity because they can't afford it. But if they did get the opportunity, their lives would go so further than if they didn't.
What about everyone else? What are you thinking? Go on, Alice.
He should help sort out with the immigrants who are trying to border on the motorways with the lorries.
That's a big old topic at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Peter, what about you?
I would say that one day when I was in a trip in Brighton, I saw quite a few homeless people and they need to be able to have a home so they can live a happy, successful life, not just in rags on the street side.
David's got a lot on his plate right now, hasn't he? Georgie, what do you reckon?
I reckon that I like the idea that Peter says and that the environment is... needs to be cared for a tiny bit better because when I go out for bike rides and things, I see litter.
Is it the litter that gets you?
Yeah.
Does everyone else agree?
Yeah, and
yes,
the dog
mess.
Yeah, the dog mess too.
That's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I can understand that. And Luke, what about you? Have you got anything to add to those? There was a few ideas there.
Well, to be honest, I think David Cameron, he's trying his best to sort out his country. He's an all-round nice guy, and I don't think there's anything that hasn't been mentioned that needs to be sorted out.
So of the ones, because we had lots of issues there, of the ones that were mentioned there, what would be top of your list? If you had him in the studio here, what would you be saying to him, this is what you need to do first?
Probably the immigration crisis, because as I've heard on Sky News, yes, immigrants boarding lorries trying to go on the underground tunnel to England. And I think he should try and, like, make the border control a bit more secure so the immigrants cannot get in.
OK, all right. Good thoughts. So are you all sort of fairly switched on when it comes to the news? Do you all watch the news?
Yes.
Yeah, OK.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. Do you think it's important to be... watching the news and being aware of what's going on.
Yes. Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Because, say there was a man who killed an animal and it's gone all over the news. And so basically it's keeping children aware of what's happening in the world. So even though we're in the Isle of Wight, doesn't mean that we shouldn't care for people who are in Africa and stuff like that.
That's right, it's Cecil the Lion, isn't it? Yeah. What about everyone else? Why is it important to be up to date and in touch with what's going on?
So you can see things like if there's roads shut down because of things like roadworks or a burst pipe, you wouldn't know, so you'd just come... You would just come down that road thinking nothing would happen when something would.
And then you're late for everything.
Yeah.
What about you two over there? Is it important to stay in touch, do you think?
Yeah. I do think it's important because if you didn't stay in touch with the news, something quite big could happen and you wouldn't be aware, so it's nice to not be left out.
All right, now who, we heard from Luke there that you think, you know, David Cameron's doing the best he can and he's doing a good job there. Who do you think, I mean, maybe you think it's David Cameron's in the right job there anyway, but who do you think should be running the country? I'm not necessarily talking about politicians, but if you could put anyone in charge of the country, who would it be? Who do you think should be in that top job?
I wouldn't really have a clue because I think he's doing quite a good job, but there's improvements that could be made.
Oh, okay. So what's he not doing right? Just the things we've been talking about?
The items that we've been talking about and stuff, people like that.
Okay. Anyone else? Any thoughts about who should be in that top job?
Well, David Cameron's a great Prime Minister, but also people like Georgie.
Oh.
Because exactly, she's a honest person and she comes up with the good ideas and Georgie will make a great one and people like her would.
Oh, Georgie, that's a resounding vote of confidence there. Should you be in charge of the country, do you think?
I don't think I'm ready yet.
That's not a no, though. So is that something you might look at doing when you're a bit older?
Maybe.
Okay, all right. So if you were in charge, would you do it differently?
I would do it about the same, but I think I would... like ask for calls to come in about what should be changed, so like little problems like what we're talking about doesn't happen.
Okay, so you would talk to people more and find out what they wanted.
Mm.
Okay, all right. And how about you two? Any thoughts on who should be running the country? Luke, do you think the right person's there, or should it be someone different?
I think David Cameron is doing all his best he can, and I don't think there's anybody else that could. Well, run the country other than him as well as he could.
Isaac, Luke, you don't fancy yourselves there in that top job?
I would honestly vote for myself.
I wouldn't.
Would you now?
I think I'd be great at running the country.
So go on then, tell me, what would you do? Would you do anything differently? Would you do it the same?
Well, what I think I'd do is the promises that I make before I become Prime Minister, I'd like carry them out as soon as possible, and then problems that appear later can be dealt with when they appear, and so they don't have to be postponed.
I like your thoughts. All right, so at some point in the future, we're going to see an election maybe that's going to involve Georgie and Isaac here. I mean, if you're trying to convince me to vote for you, you've both got 20 seconds now. Georgie, how are you going to convince me to vote for you?
I would say that I would ask you what problems you think, what big problems like animals being killed should be sorted. And then with other people, I would order them in the biggest problem and then the smallest problem and then work down the list.
I like your thinking. Methodical plan of action there. All right. Okay, Isaac, give me your sales pitch then.
Well, this country is a free country, but it can also be a great country if we have a leader who cares not only about the higher up people, but people who don't have opportunities to do certain things that should get opportunities to do certain things, or people who feel that there's a problem, they should be answered, they shouldn't be left alone just as people.
I'm ready for voting for the both of you right now, actually. You can quite happily start tomorrow in my book. All right, so we've talked about the national issues. Let's talk about some local stuff on the Isle of Wight. Now, if it wasn't David Cameron that was sat in the studio and it was Jonathan Bacon, the leader of the Isle of Wight Council, what should we be saying to Jonathan Bacon, do you think, Alice?
Why would he want to close Carisbrook down? Because he finally didn't... They just had a meeting and they didn't decide to close it down. But I still think... I feel quite angry about it still because I'm not Catholic, so I don't think Christ the King was the right choice for me. Medina's too far away for me to travel, and Sandown's very too far for me to travel. So we chose Carisbrook out of our free will.
So how did you feel when you read that report that maybe Carisbrook would be closing?
Quite angry. We went to the meeting... Not the PTFA meeting or whatever that one is. We went to the after-school one on the transition days and they were talking about it quite honestly. They weren't trying to hide it under the carpet. They were saying how the things that have happened are true. They're not lies, and they won the protest and it was on Good Morning Britain the next day.
So you must be delighted now that Carisbrook's going to stay open.
Yes. Because if it was going to close down, what was the point in the year sixes choosing that school on the opening nights? What was the point in us going up on the transition days? There was no point in it at all. If they were going to close it down, then they should have just said, no more year sixes, that's it, we're going to close it down. But they didn't. They decided to keep it open, which is a really good benefit, really.
All right, okay, so things looking a bit smoother for you for the next few months.
Yeah.
What about the rest of you? If the leader of the Isle of Wight Council was sat here, what would you be talking to him about? What should he be addressing?
The East Cowes landslip still looks a bit dangerous. And cubs go down there quite often, and when we're like building bonfires and things, we struggle to find some of the wood because of the landslip.
It's quite bad at East Cowes, isn't it? But they think it's still moving, isn't it? So they have to wait until it stops before they do anything. Peter, what about you?
I was wondering the same thing about Georgie, about the landslip. It hasn't been fixed and it's been there for quite a while. Quite a while. Thank you, Georgie. But yes, and there's other things like the play parks. The children need to be active. Why isn't there so many? Like, two for every town.
Is that the stat that you think should be good?
Yes,
if you had two for every town, that should be
because
about
because most towns are big and more children need to be active because they need to be close to one.
Okay, all right. And what about you two, Luke and Isaac? What should the leader of the Isle of Wight Council be addressing? What should he be sorting out?
I would say about the dog mess because we are a tourist attraction, so we should keep it clean for people who visit so they don't have to put up with it.
And Luke.
I think there should be some litter patrols maybe round town so there isn't litter everywhere, so we could live in a clean and healthy environment.
So do you all agree that litter and dirty streets and things, just not very nice?
No, it's not very nice.
What's your message to the people who maybe go out and walk their dogs and don't clear up, and the people that throw litter in the street and stuff?
Carry poo bags around with you now. I think it was one day when I was in the car, I was listening to the radio, and apparently, according to this radio, they're trying to make it the law that if you don't have poo bags on you, it is actually becoming illegal. So not only will they do you for not having poo bags, they do you for fouling, which is a lot of money that you have to give up just because you can't afford or you can't be bothered to go get a plastic bag and pick it up. What will take you, 5 seconds?
So
not even that.
Litter and sort out the streets and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. OK, so don't forget, if you want to get involved and have your say today, loads of ways to do it. You can find us on the text. We are IW, a space in your message. Send it into 81222. You can find us on Twitter. It's at iWhite Radio. And you can have your comment and just get involved. If you're at home and you're maybe off on school holidays and you want to get involved, check with Mum and Dad first. But then you could give us a call, 822002 if you wanted. OK, so we've talked about who should run the country. We've talked about... you know, what the leader of the council should be doing. We've talked about what the Prime Minister should be doing. Let's talk about what's in your lunchbox. Now, this is a big old contentious issue because loads of people have got ideas about what you should be eating. You've got the dinner ladies at school who tell you what you should be eating. You've got your mum and dad. You've got your friends and your family. What should be in your lunchbox and who should tell you what's in your lunchbox? Oh, hands up all over the place. Let's go to Peter. You were there first, I think.
In your lunchbox, you should need to have some healthy food because the true thing at our school is something for the school thing is a fact that school dinners versus packed lunches contain more fat, saturated fat, salt and other things.
Doesn't that depend on what you put in the packed lunchbox, though?
Yes, but most people usually use a yogurt straw, a sandwich, the type of pudding, and something else like a drink or a packet of crisps. For some, I've been talking to my nanny that sometimes pudding isn't necessary. The healthy food is what matters, and the people should be letting you know is definitely people like me, the dinner ladies, and the parents at home.
All right, who else has got thoughts on this then? Go on, Alice.
Well, I think that the choice is down to my parents and me, because if I like the food, then I will have it in my lunchbox, and if it's healthy, my parents will agree. See, there's children around the world there's children who have, like, carrot sticks and cucumber and healthy sandwiches, but if you don't have, like, a chocolate bar or something fat, your body actually needs the fat to help it work. So you do need some fat. It's not all about having such a good lunchbox. You do need quite like a little bit of bad in there, but that helps your body work.
Okay. Georgie, do you want to have a say?
We have a rule at our school and it's no more than one thing consisting chocolate to lower than the amount of sugar because most people really like to have things like chocolate bars and then they just consistently have it and they don't just have it once or twice, they normally have it every time they have packed lunches.
So is it about moderation? It's about not having too much of it and just making sure you have about enough. Boys, what about you two, Luke and Isaac, what do you think? Who tells you what's in your lunchbox? Who should tell you?
Well, I have free school dinners, but if I was having packed lunches, I would say as long as it fills me up, but it's healthy for me, and once in a blue moon have something that's not very good for me, but like, yeah. And as long as that happens, I don't actually mind.
Okay, so a little bit every now and then of something naughty, that's not too bad, is it? And Isaac, what about you?
Well, I think that parents should decide and that you should have always at least like a piece of fruit or like a little fruit pot or something like that.
Do you think it should be down to your parents or do you think the government should have a say? Because the government often says, oh, you know, you're eating too much sugar, you need to cut down, or it changes the taxes and it makes you pay a little bit more on sugar. And should the government have a say, do you think?
Not really.
Go on.
Well, honestly, not to be rude, but it's not really any of their business because parents know what's right for their child because children have different needs, so the government can't assess every child.
Anyone else have a thought on that one? Go on, Alice.
The government doesn't have every single child written down on a post-it note. He doesn't know what diseases we might have. He doesn't know what illnesses we might have. So really, it's down to the parents or your carers who look after you, because it's their choice if you have too much sugar intake. It's their choice if you have less sugar intake. It's down to you and your parents. But sometimes you see like the Jamie Oliver. Yeah, saying that sugary drinks and bubble gum should be banned because they take too much sugar intake in that. But if we didn't have sugar intake, we would not be like as well and as healthy as we are today.
So it's about, as we say, it's about moderation. You've got to have a little bit here and there, otherwise life will be very dull, but not too much.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, now, we're going to take a little break in a minute, but before we do, Alice, you see, you can't have one of these, right, let me open this up, hang on a sec. Okay, I've got a little box of Jaffa Cakes here. Now, Jaffa Cakes is an age-old question. Let's open them up. Is everyone else, apart from Alice, all right to have one of these? Okay, all right, here we go. I'm just going to pass these out. Here you go, I'll start this end. There you go, Peter.
Thank you.
The girls are missing out today. Isaac, there we go. And Luke.
Thank you.
There we go. Right, Jaffa Cakes. Georgie's not keen. Alice, you're not allowed. But Jaffa Cakes, cake or biscuit? Oh, wasn't expecting that reaction. Go on.
They're cakes in my mind because... you find them in the cake aisle. It says in the name Jaffa Cake. And my mum doesn't put them in a biscuit barrel because they go all like hard and not very nice to eat.
Oh, I like your thinking. Okay, Georgie.
I kind of know that Jaffa Cakes are a cake because biscuits are hard and harder to chew and Jaffa Cakes are soft and gooey.
Okay, what about the boys here, Peter?
Well... I really think that it is a cake because it starts soft and goes hard while the biscuit goes vice versa.
Okay, and at this end, in between chews of Jaffa Cake, Luke and Isaac?
There was actually, I believe, a lawsuit against Jaffa Cakes which were deciding if they were cake or biscuit because biscuit taxes cost more, so they were to be a cake.
Luke, just having finished yours there, cake or biscuit, what does it taste like? Does it taste like a biscuit?
It tastes like a cake, it tastes like a cake, but I think it's a cake, yes. Because it has a filling, and not all biscuits have fillings, but some do.
Do you know what, Isaac, you touched on it there. There was indeed a case that went to court, and I can tell you that actually they're currently considered cakes. Is there... everyone looking very pleased themselves. Are you expecting that? Who thinks that's rubbish? Does anyone think that's rubbish? Did anyone go for biscuits?
I just don't believe it could be rubbish.
Okay.
It's cake, definitely.
I think that the people who think it's biscuits... they need to fill the Jaffa Cakes because the bottom bit is not like a biscuit crumbly type consistency. It's more of a soft, like Victoria sponge type consistency.
All right. So on that thought, maybe you, if you're listening, have got an opinion. Cake or biscuit? What do you reckon? Indeed, what would you like to tell the Isle of Wight Council leader? What would you tell the Prime Minister if he was sat next to you? You can get in touch today. IW, a space in your message. Send it into 81222 on the text. Alternatively, find us on Twitter. We are at iWhite Radio today and 822002. It's a summer holiday special of the Friday Report. We're going to have a quick break. Let's have a quick cheer first.
Yay!
Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. This is the Friday Report, and it's a summer holiday special on Isle of Wight Radio. Very nearly 20 to 2. So, we've got in the studio, well, we're slightly depleted at the moment. They've just gone to powder their noses. Luke, Isaac, Georgie, Peter, and Alice. Quick cheer for me, everybody.
Hey!
There we go. Okay, so we're talking about the big issues affecting young people on the Isle of Wight. We've talked about all the stuff. We've talked about what the Prime Minister should be doing. We've talked about what the leader of the Isle of Wight Council should be doing. We've snacked our way through a few Jaffa Cakes and decided the big issue of the day is a Jaffa Cake, a biscuit or a cake. All sorts of things on the agenda today. No one squeezed it. Oh, there we go. There we go. People just arriving back in the studio. I was a bit worried you got squashed then as you came back through those doors, Georgie. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Health and safety, officially okay. All good. Right, next up on the agenda then, everybody. We all live on the Isle of Wight. It's gorgeous. It's the summer holidays. You've had a lovely time so far, I'm hoping. But what's the best thing about living on the Isle of Wight? Who's still chewing and who wants to answer? I'll come over to you two first. Right, Isaac.
For me, the best thing about living on the Isle of Wight is that crime is quite
low, so it's quite a safe, happy place to live.
Do you feel like you're quite safe here and it's quite a nice place to be?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Luke, what about you?
Well, I love living like 5 minutes down from the beach, so when it's like a really sunny day, I'm like, grab my things and go down the beach for the day with my friends.
Is that, that's your favourite thing, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, what about, who else have we got? Alice?
The best thing about living on the Isle of Wight is really just the community and the way that we treat each other. Also, I also quite like the way that we all sort of... If you live in a state on the Isle of Wight, you don't have much violence. You all sort of stick together. So if something happens, then you all go out and sort it. It's not one for... It's not just... one for yourself. It's not just about for yourself. You have to think about other people, like, are they okay, what's happening and stuff like that.
All right, so let's head down this end then. Peter, what's the best thing about living on the Isle of Wight?
Well, it's like the resort parks. There's five. I've been to every single one of them though, but I'm going to one on the 8th of August. It's one of the best things because really, like, there's not much violence and good place to live because there's lots of beach areas and we're lucky to live near beaches.
Yeah, we really are. Really are, because there's a different beach for every day, isn't there, practically? Yeah. Georgie, what's the best thing for you?
I like the conditions of things like campsites and amusement parks on the island because it's like you've gone to a different country because they're that good.
I'm liking it. Okay, so it's almost like you've been abroad on holiday by the end of your summer holiday. Mm. And if somebody was, you know, if someone's listening on the mainland, because people might be listening on the mainland right now, and you were to sell them the Isle of Wight and tell them how brilliant it was, maybe they're coming over here for the first time. What's the must-see on the Isle of Wight? Where should they be going?
The must-see on the Isle of Wight is, like, it's a good... place to live, good community, but the the Eiffel Towers for Paris is...
I was going to say for a minute there, I was getting a bit confused. The Eiffel Tower, not on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, not on the Isle of Wight, but like that's an example. There's loads of history. You can go to the Roman villas and stuff like that, and that's like our Eiffel Tower. That's it really for
me. Okay, I like that. I'm a big fan of history. All right, Georgie?
Also, Robin Hill or Black Gang in China are quite good. They've got events going on now.
Yeah. They have.
And Carrickspur Castle and Osborne House have got things like jousting and... night school.
Lots of nodding going on. All right, Peter, what's a must-see if you're visiting the Isle of Wight?
Well, I'd really recommend people to go to, let's say, the Culver Monument.
Okay. If
there's a battery and there's information about World War I and II. I think it's one, but yes. There's a battery where it's historical. You can see lots of the French boats go by and look at the monument, or have an ice cream.
So the Needles Old Battery is on the list for you.
And not the Needles, I mean the one on Culver.
Oh, yes, okay. Yeah,
but
looking out the other
Needles
way, very nice.
Be good as well. Yeah.
Okay, and what about Isaac and Luke? What do you reckon? What's a must-see visit on the Isle of Wight?
I'd say Carrickspur Castle. Very historical, very nice.
Good place to run around the battlements and pretend you're a knight and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And Luke?
I would say... a must-see would be all the really golden sandy beaches.
That's a good answer. Where's your favourite beach? Where's a good place to go, would you recommend?
Shanklin Small Hope Beach.
Do you know what? I haven't been there. That's on my list of places to go. Should I be going to Shanklin Small Hope Beach this summer?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Great aunt owns a beach hut.
Oh, well, I'll look out for her. I'll look out for her when I'm there. All right. Okay, so... that's the places to visit on the Isle of Wight. That's all good. If you've got your own ideas and you're listening, then don't forget, you can text me, IW, a space in your message. Send it into 81222. Tell me what you think is a must-visit place on the Isle of Wight. We should say, listening to the show Whilst on holiday at Chine Farm campsite, really enjoying it, says this text. The kids certainly know their stuff. You absolutely do. And that's from Ian and Jan, a.k.a. Big E and Jan, the legend, who are radio presenters on a community radio, The Eye, in Melton Mowbray. You might find yourself, you've got an extra gig if you work hard enough. They might be calling us at the end of the show. Okay, so let's carry on then. What else have we got on our list of stuff? Sandwiches. Right, so this is a big one in my house. Okay, so sometimes I like to cut the sandwiches into little triangles. Other times I like to cut the sandwiches into squares. I don't know. Luke, you're slapping your face with your hand there. Now, why squares? Are you not a big fan of square sandwiches?
No, I believe that triangles are the best shape for sandwiches to be, because you can get a massive bite out of it.
Okay, I like your thinking. Okay, Alice?
I think it doesn't really matter what sandwiches the shapes are, because if you're in Africa or somewhere they're not very wealthy, then they wouldn't care if it was a cat shape, a rabbit shape, a square, a triangle, a rectangle or a hexagon. As long as it had food in it, it wouldn't really matter.
That's a very good point. Am I overthinking it, do you think?
Huh?
Am I overthinking it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone else got an opinion on sandwich shape? Go on, Isaac.
I would agree with Luke that triangle is the way to go, because you can stack them all up and it looks very pretty.
Okay, Georgie?
I think it doesn't matter, but personally, I like them cut in half.
Oh, okay. So not even squares, just kind of rectangles.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, what about...
I can eat the crust first, then actually eat the sandwich, because I don't like crusts.
Okay. I was about to say you get extra points for eating your crust, but what you're telling me is it's a better way of avoiding the crust. Okay. All right, Peter, what about you?
Definitely triangles with the crust. The crust is very healthy, even though the fibre makes your hairs curl. But yeah, triangles makes it easier to eat, because you have to eat around... You need to eat triangles to eat a triangle of a square sandwich, and it's much more harder. So you might want to have like bite-sized pieces or quarter squares or eighth triangles. It makes it much more easier because...
Well, all right, let me put to the fans of triangles then. I understand your point on the whole, you know, making it easier to eat thing, because, you know, you can, I know you end up with a little sort of bite shaped mouth around square ones, don't you? But, you know, what about me? I have to pack a lunchbox, right? And I need to make it a square shape to fit in the lunchbox. Sometimes I've got a round lunchbox to fill. So what do I do? Go on, your thoughts on that. Okay, Isaac.
Circular sandwiches.
How do I achieve that?
Well, you first get a template, so you draw around like a cup or something. You put on the sandwich, you get your knife and you sort of stab down,
okay,
and then sort of cut round the template, and then you'll have a perfect circle. And
I think you might be over-optimistic about my sandwich-making abilities here. I'm not sure it would stand up to that. Alice?
You could either get pastry cutters, or you could just put in the centre of your sandwich in your lunchbox.
Oh, yeah, I like that thought. OK, Georgie?
If you have a square lunchbox, if your child is older, it's easier to just cut them and package them so they're quite small, so you can fit other things into their lunchbox, so they're ready and not tired and hungry for an afternoon of learning.
I know, and it's like you haven't eaten for days, isn't it, by the time you get to lunchtime. I know what that's like. Okay, so that's good thoughts. I'm liking the thought there about the whole eating the sandwich easily if it's a triangle. Good afternoon to Tom, who is in Northampton. Best place to go on the island is Black Gang Chine. We mentioned Black Gang Chine. Georgie, you mentioned that, didn't you? Okay, so your thoughts, you can text us today. IW a space in your message. Send it in to 81222. Alternatively, find us on Facebook. You can leave a message there. You can also send us a tweet. We are at iWhite Radio. That's a good place to start. And 822002 is the number here in the studio. It's a summer holiday special of the Friday Report. For 1 week only, the kids taking over the airwaves today. Okay, so let's move on then, if we may. And I'm going to ask you, when you have left school in a few years' time, what are your plans? Would you stay on the Isle of Wight? Are you going to go somewhere else? How's that going to work, Alice?
My plans are I'm going to stay on the Isle of Wight because I'm a pure Isle of Wighter. I'm from nowhere else. And I'm into animals a lot, and I want to go to wherever I have to do to get into RSPCA inspecting or vets. And then if I don't even get into that, I will be like a groomer for dogs or animals.
Definitely something animal related.
Yes.
Okay, but staying on the island. Who else? Let's come to Luke here.
Since I would like to be a carpenter when I'm older, in a couple of years' time, when I'm looking for somewhere to go to be a carpenter, then I would see the best jobs on the island, and if there isn't any on the island, I would go check on the mainland, and then if there's one on the mainland, I would go to that job and then move over to the mainland.
So you're not too worried, as long as the job's there, it's the job that's going to outweigh. I've just made a note of that, because I need my kitchen done in a few years' time. Okay, Isaac, what about you?
Well, I hopefully want to go to university, so I'd probably leave the island and get a job on the mainland. But if I ever started a family, I probably would come back to the island.
It's a lovely place, isn't it, if you've got kids? Okay, Georgie, what about you?
It depends what jobs there are. So, but if I don't live on the island, I will go somewhere near the island so I can visit often.
Okay, I like that. And Peter, your thoughts?
Well, I would go to university. I might become a teacher and move back to the Isle of Wight, but it's just I like teaching. I really enjoy maths and other subjects. It makes me... It's like inspiration, really, being in school for 5 years. It just makes me want to teach some kids to have a successful future like me, if I ever have one.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
I like it. All right. Now, you mentioned sort of teaching and things there, and we're not going to sort of mention names or anything like that. But what I wanted to know was, when you're in class, what makes teaching fun? What's a good lesson for you? What do you do? How does it work? Alice?
If the teacher's nice, it only really works if the teacher's nice, kind. If the teacher's horrible, then us children are really going to try and get on the nerves. So if they are nice and kind, then you tend to behave.
Okay.
So if it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, if you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. If you're horrible to me, I'm horrible to you.
All right. Okay. Let's come over to Luke.
To make a lesson the best lesson is to get involved in the lesson. Hands-on, just, yeah.
A little bit of kind of craft and activity and a bit of something to do makes it a bit more exciting. All right. What about you, Georgie?
Well, I think it should involve teamwork, because communicating makes it more fun. Once in year four, we did a lesson where we had to find out how many cubes we could fit into a pyramid, pyramid net. And we were all laughing and trying to say, we were all making bets of how many we think would be in there.
Okay, so again, a bit of hands-on stuff. Yeah. What about you? What makes teaching fun? What makes it exciting? What's a good lesson?
I agree with Luke that... but also that the teacher and the pupils need to cooperate to make the lesson the best, because a lesson can't just be good for one side to be the best lesson.
And Peter, your thoughts?
Well, I would say if the teacher was being mean, that means... Well, teachers do need to be mean at times, don't they?
Sometimes people are a bit naughty, aren't they?
Well, they have to be strict, so they do their work. But sometimes they can be nice, and like they like to do work. And sometimes we get a treat once in a while. And it just
enjoys us, that and it enjoys me. It's inspiring me to become a maths teacher, really.
I think
just
that's brilliant.
Just enjoying my lessons.
That's brilliant. All right, now we've only got a couple of minutes left. That's almost it. It's been fabulous having you all in. Thank you very much. Let's leave it with your thoughts then on who's an inspiration. Who inspires you to learn or to go and have fun or to do new stuff? Georgie?
I'm inspired by people who have, like, really good jobs. Like being a teacher, it just feels wonderful to be teaching someone, even if it's just because they did something wrong. You needed to teach them how to do it. It just feels wonderful, and then when you try new things, you just get inspired to do it when you're older.
Excellent. All right, Peter.
Well. My teacher, yes. All my teachers have inspired me to do all the things I could. I did the best I could. I got top marks.
Well done, you. All right, what about everyone else? What's your inspiration, Alice?
I'm going with Peter, with my teacher. He's inspired me to believe strong, never give up, and, say we were doing a topic on the body, and, if I was reading and I found it hard, or for example, I was trying to do extra homework, he would encourage me. He wouldn't say, oh, no, you're not meant to be doing that now. You're not meant to do extra homework and it's not set. But he would be like, yeah, go on then, try it. And really, my parents, my family, everyone really around me has inspired me to be, well, if I turn out like them, that's not so bad. If I turn out like them, it's not really that bad.
All right, Isaac, what about you? Who inspires you?
I would say anyone who, like performers, magicians, singers, all those kinds of people, who can stand on a stage in front of hundreds, maybe even thousands, millions of people, and, like, still be able to do it, because, like, I just look up to someone who has that amount of confidence.
And last but no means least, because we've run out of time, Luke.
Well, the people that would inspire me are my parents, because they've taken out their time to raise me and to buy clothes for me, to care for me and to feed me. I just think they've done great job, and just carry on, please.
Do you know what? When we go outside, they've all been waiting for you out there. I think there's going to be a few teary faces out there today. You've all done fabulously well. Thank you so much. Let's have one final cheer.
Yay!
That is it. That's been the Friday Report, a summer holiday special. Thank you very much for joining us today. Matt White is on the programme next week because I'm off. So Matt's standing in for me. I'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. Have a fabulous rest of your day. Isle of Wight Radio taking you through drive time until this evening. John has the news next.
The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.